Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, praise God. We bless God for another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I would like to take a moment to welcome each and every one of you to Tell Them Ministries on the radio. God bless you. God bless you. I thank you that you took the time to get up on this morning to join us as we look at and continue to look at unmasking the pain, healing the wounds. And we're looking at a continuation of domestic violence. Let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we exalt you this morning. We lift you up. We magnify you above every situation and circumstance in our lives. God, we love you. We appreciate you. We adore you. We will exalt you. We will praise you. And we thank you for this time of coming together and conversation. We bless your holy name. We thank you for your Son. We thank you that as we go forth, that the Holy Spirit will just reach down and touch each and every one of us where we are. Father, we ask that our understanding be opened and our heart be filled with praise, mercy, and grace. We say thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Again, welcome to Tell Them Ministries on the radio. We say welcome, welcome, welcome. We're going to dive right into our topic this morning. I am traveling this morning, so unfortunately I am the driver, the navigator, and we're going to ask Jesus to take the wheel and lead us and guide us and protect us. As you know, there are, in our society now, there are so many people that have been or are in the midst of a abusive relationship. So many people want to deny. They even want to ignore the situation by saying, it's not happening to me. But the world can see evidence of it. Being a survivor, a overcomer, myself, I believe I have a sixth sense when it comes to seeing it. And my heart just breaks for those women and children that endure who are going through. We're hearing constantly where a husband or a boyfriend is taking the life of the woman. We just had so many things in the news recently. The father that not only took his wife's life, but the life of two little girls and an unborn baby. We just saw also where the man, the fiancé, took the life of his fiancé, and now he's in prison facing time. And that little girl has to grow up without her mother or her father. But this is not something new. This is not something that's just happened. I can remember as a child hearing different tales around town, around the neighborhood, where someone had taken the life of their wife, their mate, that person that they had stood before man and God and said that they would love them in sickness and in health till death do them part, letting no man put asunder. But we have to understand there's so many factors in relationships. There's so many factors in a person's ability to deal with stress and pain and anger and heartache. And they find that the only way their only outlet is to strike or abuse the person that they say they love. I've come to realize love doesn't hurt. And if there are tears that are shed because of love, it should be tears of joy, tears of passion and love, tears of expectancy, but they should never be tears because of pain. It should never be tears because the person that I am with is tearing me down, is diminishing me, is taking his words to cut like a knife, to abuse me. So we have to look at the fact that even those of us that are on the line this morning, God bless you and thank you for joining us again. When we look at each of us, each of ourselves and our history and where we've come from and where, as well as where we're going, we must look at how do we deal with the anger? How do we deal with the frustration? Are we lashing out at those people around us that we say we love? Are we lashing out on our children? Are we lashing out against the mother, the father? Are we lashing out against who we say God has given us? He's brought them into our lives, and we're going to love, and they're going to love us. How do we handle the pressure? I can be very open and honest and realize that my abuse started very early in life, being abused by someone who was stronger than myself, who could very easily overpower me in strength. And sometimes that's all it takes. But we have to look at what I found the perpetrator or the abuser or the victimizer has almost like a radar in them to know who they can get away with the abuse with. It's a sixth sense. It's like I said, it's a radar. They can detect someone that's low in self-esteem, someone that's already broken, someone that's already in a place to be abused. And this is not to say this is the victim's fault, by no means, but it is to say that 9 times out of 10, they've already endured some form of abuse, whether it be by a parent, a family member, or even a classmate. They've already endured it. So it's almost like they have the bullseye on them. And we know that all of this is the work of the enemy. And so many people are allowing the enemy to use them to destroy other people. We hear it over and over again. Hurt people, hurt people. And that is so very true. That is so very true. Because if I'm hurting, I'm broken, and for some reason they want the same thing to be inflicted on someone else, we know that to be true in not only today's society, but in past generations. And unless we stop the violence, it will continue. It will be passed on generation to generation. When we look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, the word tells us that the sins of the father will be placed upon the sons. So that's passing it down, that generational curse, that generational abuse, that generational pain. And it's time that we deal with it. It's time that we unmask it. It's time for us to stop realizing, thinking that someone else is the punching bag. Someone else should feel the wrath. God said in his word that each of us were fearfully and wonderfully made. So I'm just as important as you are. You are just as important as I am. And God love us. loves us all. When we look at abuse and we look at the different signs of it, 9 times out of 10, if you're in a marriage and you're seeing abuse, more than likely you saw signs of it before you stood at the altar, before you stood in front of the man or woman of God, the judge or whomever, and wherever you were, you saw some simple signs, some hidden signs, and in some cases they may have been very obvious signs that this is going to be a reckless, a hurtful place to be when it comes to love. We have to understand that it doesn't just start one day. This is something that builds up. It builds up. It's like a ticking time bomb, and it's just waiting for the opportunity for somebody to hit the button for it to explode. We see it oftentimes with mental illness and different things of that nature, and people are just doing things because they are being tormented within. They have so many things going on the inside that for them to hurt somebody, it seems as though it's some form of relief. But when you stop and think about how people are hurting one another, when you're looking at marriages and relationships, if it's the husband that is the perpetrator, he's abusing his wife and his family with words, financially, sexually, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I'll never forget, I asked a pastor years ago, what is the church's responsibility when it comes to abuse and domestic violence? And he just looked me dead in the face and said the church didn't have a responsibility. How can we say that we're sons and daughters of God and we preach the gospel? How can we say that there's no responsibility to the church when we are standing in people's pulpits and preaching? We want to lay hands on the sick that they recover. We want to speak in tongues. We want to prophesy. But how many of you know a lot of prophets are missing the mark when it comes to domestic violence? They're not seeing it. It's time out for us missing it. We need to see it. We need to ask God to reveal it to us, that we are able to intercede for our brothers and our sisters and our children so that they can find healing, that they can be put in a safe place to understand that God has not forgotten them, that they understand that God loves them and it is not his will that they endure pain. God loves us, and he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came for us to have joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost. We should be able to praise him without fear. We should be able to go wherever we need to go and not fear and be walking around with anxiety about what's going to happen when you get home. That should not be, people. That should not be. But we have so many people, so many women who are so fearful to go home. They're so fearful of burning something. They're so fearful of not doing everything just right because their husband or the man that they're with has let them know that they are less than. It's a hurtful place to be. And I realized that when I was going through it, it didn't seem like there was anybody there for me to turn to. And that's where so many people are now. They don't feel like there's anywhere to go. They don't feel like there's anybody to talk to. They don't feel like there's any place for refuge. So they stay, and they feel stuck. And so oftentimes some even commit suicide. Some even, the abuse that they are receiving from their husband or their mate, they involuntarily turn that against the children. Somebody you may work with, someone you may be going to school with, someone in your church, if you're looking at how they treat other people and the things that they're doing, ask yourself, are they showing signs of being abused? Are they showing signs of what is happening at home? And whether it is verbally, and, you know, you can look at a say a woman is in church and she's just very domineering and she's just very vocal about her feelings and her thoughts and she's just all over the place. Yes, we have some people who are just like that. But sometimes that's the only outlet that they have when they get there, and they're so pinned up and bottled up. So when they get around other people, they actually start treating people the way they're treated at home. And they're in misery. I heard a sermon last night, and the apostle was saying, let your misery become your ministry. And I had to look at that, and I had to, it brought tears to my eyes, because my misery became my ministry years ago. What I was going through, God let me know that I wasn't the only one. And I have a passion for victims of domestic violence. God, I thank you that deliverance came to my house. I bless your holy name. God, I just thank you, because you know, when you're in it and you don't think anybody knows, and people are so fearful now. Forgive me, I just started up my vehicle. I am driving. As I said, I'm traveling this morning. I didn't have that place to go. I didn't have that thing to do, that one I could turn to. But I thank God I survived and I'm out of it. And as they say, I'm good. I don't know. Sometimes I just don't know what to do or what to say. And yes, sometimes I just cry. My heart just breaks. Because in the midst of my misery becoming my ministry, there were still some things. I was still in the midst of the abuse. I was still in the midst of it. My self-esteem was continuously torn down, but I knew God had called me to the work of the ministry. I knew he had called me. I wasn't being validated in the church, and Lord knows I wasn't being validated at home, but I still knew God called me. I knew, and I asked God not to allow my pain to go to waste. Let it not just fall where it was, because somebody needed some help somewhere, and I wanted to be able to help them. Yes, I dealt with low self-esteem, and that's what you're going to see. You're going to see those people that are dealing with low self-esteem. Those people that can be very boisterous and loud and obnoxious, and they're going to actually portray the opposite of who they are. They're going to do things a little crazy. You're going to be like, what is going on? We see it every day. It's time for us to unmask the pain of it, call it what it is, call a spade a spade. Why are we taking down? Why are we letting the enemy just run rampant with the domestic violence, with the abuse that is from, as I said last week, from the pulpit to the parking lot? We're not just looking from the pulpit to the pew. This is everybody is dealing with it or has dealt with it or knows someone. All of us are affected by domestic violence in some shape, form, or fashion. When you're in the midst of all of this, you're going to see signs of drug abuse, alcohol abuse. You're going to see sexual abuse. You're going to see promiscuity when you're talking about our young people. You're going to look at a lot of fornication, a lot of adultery. All these things that God says should not be so. But this is not just in the world. This is actually in the church. This is among, quote unquote, the Christians. The anointed powerhouses of God come down off the pulpit and go home and beat their wife. The prominent businessman that's on the digging board. He abusing his children. So it doesn't matter whether you're from what they want to call the ghetto or the hood, or you're living in a mansion with 6, 8, 10 bedrooms. It doesn't matter your economic status. Domestic violence hits every area, every income level, every education level. It doesn't matter if it's in the city or the country. It doesn't matter if it's in the suburbs or on an island somewhere. We've got people dealing with domestic violence. There's someone somewhere today that is being abused by, I'm going to say, her husband. Her children are crying because daddy decided he was going to wake up on this Saturday morning and curse her out, slap her around, and then he turned his anger on the children. That's what's going on this morning somewhere in somebody's house. It could be going on in your neighborhood. It could be actually going on next door to you. But you may never know. And yes, I am speaking from a lot of experience, people. Lies develop because you don't want anybody to know. You're walking around, you're being dragged and beaten, and you're walking around with so much pride in you that you refuse to say anything to anybody. I can't let anybody know that. And it's amazing how the victim oftentimes tries to protect the person that is trying to kill them. I did it. So many other people do it. Now I'm going to call you out. I'm sorry. No, you're not getting away with that. But they protect, they identify with the person that is hurting them. They believe because they've been convinced that they are the problem. It is their fault. If they had a went through the woulda, coulda, shoulda, if I had, if you had what? Cooked a better meal, dressed better, not said anything when they came home. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. The word tells us not to provoke. We're not to provoke people. I have a real hard problem, especially with those wives, those women who are doing everything that they know how to do, and they're being accused of provoking him. No. He's supposed to love me. He's supposed to entreat me. The word says that husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You see nowhere in the Bible where God, Jesus, Christ slapped the church around. You see, nowhere did Christ abuse the church. Christ loved the church. He gave his life for us. But so many men, even women, and then like I told you before, it happens. Women do it too. But our men are so proud sometimes and fearful that they don't come forth. So we don't really have a real number of how many men are being abused, but the men abusing women, that number is so high. Again, it should not be so. You get to a place in time that you're just tired of being abused. And so many women have retaliated. So many people, so many women are just looking for a safe haven and don't know where to turn. I want to say this. You can find me on Facebook, Gloria Hawkins, Facebook. Tell the ministries on Facebook. You can direct message me. So you will know that everything is personal and confidential. It's between you, me, and God. But if you need to talk, reach out to me. You can also find me on my website, tailtheministries.com. Leave me a message. There is a number that you can call. This is something that we all need to think about. And all, I would like to, I'm getting ready to close. And I want to say that there is help for you. Those that have endured, those that are on the other side. When we've become strong, we are to strengthen the brethren and the sisters. As we go forth with unmasking the pain of men, of women, my sister, Apostle Valerie, is doing Hear Me Roar. We're unmasking the pain, and she's giving you an opportunity to roar. Find that one person that will allow you to roar. Sometimes a good scream will just help so much. But you can, again, find me on Facebook. You can go to my website, leave me a message. Again, everything is personal and confidential. It will not be shared. There's private issues. Until you are at a place where you can roar. I invite you back here next Saturday morning at 8 a.m. as we continue with unmasking the pain. Are you suffering in silence? If you have a prayer request, you can inbox me. I am connected to a group of intercessors that are off the chain. No holds barred. When we go in, when they go in, they go in. Deliverance. We have evidence of our prayers being answered. We're reaching, oh God, we're reaching, God, we're reaching the heavens with these intercessors. God hears our prayers. I would also like to invite you to listen in to the Empowerment Place on Sunday evening at 8 p.m. where Apostles Benny and Valerie Burrell will be ministering tomorrow evening. Know that I love you. Know that God loves you, and you no longer have to suffer in silence. I bless you. I love you. But know God loves you best. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day.